Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rovers will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers Review on Ocean FM. We've had a few hours to digest the news from the showgrounds today that Liam Buckley, the manager, has left the club by mutual consent, according to the club statement released this morning. It's on sligorovers.com, it's on oceanfm.ie, and you'll find it pretty much anywhere if you have a look on social media. Ronan Flanagan is in studio with me. Ronan, you've been taking a look at what the online reaction has been to Liam Buckley's departure today. What have you come across?
Yeah, mostly positive. Just positive in regards thanking Liam Buckley for his time at the club. So, for example, Leo Gray, a former journalist, said the right decision at this time. Buckley did a fantastic job, but there was a serious decline in terms of performance this year. Despite what some pundits are saying, Rovers are entitled to expect more. No hiding place for players now, some of whom need to step up big time. Leo's brother Jim also tweeted. He said, this happens at the biggest clubs in the world. It's part of football. Always admired Buckley's honesty, which was probably at the heart of this decision. He did the club some service. Replacement, a huge decision for the club.
Okay, so that's just a quick cross sample. And Greg Bulger's tweet we read out earlier in the programme as well, saying it's up to the players now to step up to the mark. They play Derry City tomorrow evening. John Russell, the club's assistant manager, will take interim charge of the first team for that game. Earlier on this programme, the Sligo Rovers chairman, Tommy Higgins, explained the rationale behind the club's decision to part company with Liam Buckley as manager.
No, it was a very difficult decision that we had to make, and it was just done on this weekend. Liam did an absolutely wonderful job for the club and is leaving us in a much better position than when he joined. And we must remember we had five very difficult years. We were very close to relegation in one of those years, and Liam brought us to Europe in two occasions. But whether you're Real Madrid or Sligo Rovers, it's a results-based business, and everybody understands that. And we have to move forward now. And I cannot praise him enough in the way he represented the club on behalf of the board, the fans, friends. We wish him, Liam and his wife, all at the very best in the future. But they will be always welcome at the showgrounds.
Without breaking any confidences, what was that conversation like between yourselves and Liam?
As I said, Liam, it's always a difficult decision, but Liam is a gentleman, as I'll say on that, and he's a wonderful man. And as I said, he will always be welcome at the showgrounds.
Did he feel a change was needed?
I don't know. But I suppose all managers know what's coming and what's not coming. I don't know, really. But that was the decision we had to make, and he took the decision gracefully, as we expected he would. That's the kind of a gentleman he is.
And I think a lot of Sligo Rovers fans would agree with that. Yeah. It is a results business, Tommy. You don't need me to tell you that. And the results in recent weeks and months perhaps hadn't been what Rovers supporters were hoping they would be.
No, and you know, we have the biggest budget we ever had in the, for the club for this year. And you know, we have the last 9 points out of 33 is not good enough for our club. And we're an ambitious club. We just have to move forward, and we're ambitious. We have to get the results.
Have you any indication of what the players make of this decision?
No, not yet. I always stay away from the players. That's the management, and that's the coach look after that.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So John Russell is going to take temporary charge tomorrow night for the Derry game.
On an interim basis, we appointed John as manager, yes.
Okay.
Austin, there's a break in the season coming up now. There are two games left before the break, and then there's a 2.5-week break or something like that coming up. And we will now start the process of looking for a new manager.
Okay. Are you worried? It's a calculated gamble on the part of the club to change a manager mid-season in terms of who might be available, who might be viable candidates. And I'm not going to ask you to give us names or anything like that, but you're obviously mapping it out that it'll be the summer break will be the time that you'd hope to have somebody in place by ideally.
Well, there's an awful lot to look forward to. If you look at, you know, we have, you know, there's still 54 points or something like that to play for. There's a cup run. We have European games. You know, there's an awful lot to look forward for some new person to come in and take us on to the next stage. So we're very optimistic. And look at, as I said, whether you're Real Madrid or Sligo Rovers, this conundrum faces thousands of clubs all over the world, and we're going to face up to it. I think we have a very good board in place, and we're up for the challenge.
The timeline you've put on the reappointment process, that'll take as long as it needs to take, will it?
Yes, well, we're going to start tomorrow, and you know, with the process of that, that's what has to be done, and we have a couple of weeks, and we would hope to have somebody in place by the time we get back up, but it's important we get the right person. But when you look at it, you know, it's a huge challenge. You're handing over your club, as I said, whether you're Real Madrid or Sligo Rovers, to one person. You know, some of them are spectacularly successful and some of them don't work out. But look, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure we get the right person to bring the club forward to the next phase.
And that new person, when he comes in finally, Tommy, I mean, you've spent quite a bit already building a new squad for this season. I mean, is there money in the kitty to help an eventual new manager strengthen the squad?
We'll have to look at the overall picture when we get the new man when he comes in. That's a very good squad that we have there. And as you know, we have two people for every position, and I think it's, as I said, it's our biggest budget ever for Sligo Rovers. So, look, we'll deal with all that when the new man comes on, Our Lady, if it is, but I doubt if it's the Lady, but that's out there. But if whoever comes on board will be given the full support from the board, and I'm sure from the fans as well.
Tommy Higgins, chairperson of Sligo Rovers FC, speaking to us earlier. Ronan Flanagan, do you think it's an attractive job for an out-of-work manager?
I think it's very attractive, Austin, yeah. Looking at the squad the Sligo Rovers have, it's the options that manager will walk into as, I suppose, the best goalkeeper in the league. Gary Buckley and Nando Pynacker are quite defensive partners, are a strong defensive partnership. You have two great right-backs in Colm Horgan and Lewis Banks, two great left full-backs in Robbie McCourt and Paddy Kirk. Plenty of options in midfield. And even up front, there's plenty of options there. So, a very attractive job for any manager that wants to have it.
And there's European football to come in the summer.
There is, absolutely. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, you're going to be managing in a European competition. Like, not many managers could have the opportunity to do that. And that's something certainly to look forward to.
Unless they get away to Turkmenistan or something, then they might say, actually, do you know what? I'll give it a sort of, I'm jesting. There is European football. Jessica Farry, the Sligo champion, of course, has been following Rovers closely for many seasons now. She joined us earlier this afternoon when the Buckley departure became permanent, official.
You know, in the aftermath of Friday night's defeat to Bowes, there seemed to be like almost an expectation that maybe a decision will be made in the coming days. I think we all, if anything, expected maybe to see how things went on Monday night and for the club then to kind of maybe make a decision if they felt they needed to. Certainly at the Showgrounds yesterday during the Women's National League game, there was no mention of anything and there was nobody speculating or anything like that. And listen, I think, you know, I heard Tommy Higgins on with you a few moments ago discussing it, and look, it is a results business. I just don't think we expected to hear anything today, you know, and I guess maybe Friday night's results may have kind of made up the minds of a few people in the end, but certainly didn't expect it to come today ahead of tomorrow's game against Derry City. But perhaps with the mid-season break and everything, it might have just felt like the right time, and it seems like the committee wanted to make sure that they didn't sit on this for too long and let it go on for too long, you know.
You're in the local media pool week in, week out at Sligo Rovers matches. Did you get any sense at all from Liam Buckley that he was thinking about stepping away, or that, you know, the club were reaching a point?
Certainly not the mood I got from Liam on Friday night anyway. And, you know, I would have maybe had more of a feeling if I felt that there was a bit of an air about him, that he was extremely disappointed with the result on Friday. He was extremely disappointed. But certainly that's not the most disappointed I've seen him. And I didn't walk away from Friday night with any feeling that he... would have been expecting to maybe go into talks over the weekend about his future at the club. But at the same time, I'm sure he kind of knew what was coming, and I'm sure he felt that after Friday night, maybe it would be the time that something would happen or something would change. But I certainly got no feeling from him Friday night. And now, you know yourself, Austin, Liam is quite guarded in terms of his post-match interviews and stuff like that. But usually people kind of can't hide body language or can't kind of hide, you know, the facial expressions and all that. But there was certainly nothing on Friday night that indicated to me that he had a feeling he may be gone by the time the weekend was over.
I know he was quoted in your paper last week, Jessica, you know, making the point that when Rovers lose a match or two, the reaction seems quite severe. You understood what he was trying to say. The problem is there have been quite a few below par results now, and that has the club supporter base pretty anxious at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I saw Greg Bulger on Twitter there a couple of moments ago tweeting, saying how, you know, as players, they've let Liam down. And like, I think it's always an easy thing to say when a manager goes, and I think players can often feel somewhat guilty, feeling like they're the ones who've kind of let the manager down and stuff like that. But it's a combination of things, you know, and ultimately I suppose it comes down to whether people feel as though the manager is getting the best out of his squad. And I think in recent weeks and in recent months, we haven't seen the best of Sligo Rovers. And, you know, it is a good squad he has there. And look, in the last few weeks, I think Tommy spoke there about the statistics, nine points or something from 33, something like that. And look, I understand what Liam was saying, in that sometimes the reaction to a couple of defeats can be, you know, a little bit much. And it goes the opposite way too. It works both ways, because you've seen when Sligo Rovers had a really good start and they were unbeaten in their first six. There was a lot of talk of a you know, a league chase and a battle for the title and all that kind of things. And it was early days, and look at where we are now, you know. And fans, of course, were very anxious that the decision be made. But at the same time, when the decision has been made, I think people feel kind of mixed, particularly in the case of Liam Buckley, because he's so well thought of at Sligo Rovers, so well respected, and everybody likes him. It's hard not to like someone like Liam Buckley. So when now that he is gone, I see nothing but positive comments about him, and nothing but positive comments about his time at Sligo Rovers and what he has done for the club, because we have to look at this as a whole and look at the bigger picture here. And there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, despite how things have been the last few weeks, and despite how people feel about Liam Buckley's last few weeks as manager, he's left the club in a better place. It's in a far better place than where it was when he came in. And when he came into the club at the end of 2018, the start of the 2019 season, like, you know, the club was there was no European football and things weren't going well, and there was absolutely no stability whatsoever. And we all knew we needed stability. And there was a few eyebrows raised when Liam Buckley got the job, because nobody was sure how he would settle in Sligo. We know how difficult it is to get players to sign to Sligo Rovers, meaning they have to move away from Dublin or whatever. We weren't sure if it was the right decision. But what he did was he brought an awful lot of... He just brought that stability. He was able to sign players he knew. Players like Greg Bulger and those sort of lads, I'm not sure they would have come to Sligo Rovers if it wasn't for Liam Buckley. We have an awful lot to thank Liam Buckley for in terms of European football. He's brought some brilliant days to Sligo Rovers. We've had some great days out with him, and thanks to him. And look, it's kind of... It's a sad end, and it's hard not to feel sad about it, because, as I said, everybody likes him. And, you know, you and I often, we deal with him on a weekly basis, and he's never anything but respectful and kind, and always does his media duties and everything. But now it's kind of like, it's up to Sligo Rovers now. They have to make sure they get this next move right. And look, they made the change at a time when they have enough time to make sure they have a manager ahead of European football, because you can make sure you have someone in before you play in Europe. So the next decision is almost tougher.
Yeah, here's that tweet you were mentioning, Jessica, from Greg Bulger in the past 20 minutes. Sad day this, he says. Us players have let Liam down. We just haven't been good enough for him in the club. We need to reset, get back to the standard we know we can play at, and keep working hard. I want to wish Liam all the best in his future endeavours. Let's get a fan's perspective for a few moments. On the line as well is co-host of the Borst podcast, which I'm sure will be busy in the coming days. Conor Lynch joins us on the line this afternoon. Conor, there's no doubting the esteem people hold Liam Buckley, the man, in, judging by, you know, the responses we're getting in the past couple of hours to his departure from Sligo Rovers. But there was a fair old clamour for a change amongst supporters. Is the consensus that the right decision's been made this weekend?
I think the consensus would be among the fan base, although I can't speak for everybody, but from the people that I've been speaking to, particularly on the back of the result against Bohemians on Friday night, you know, every week that goes by, I think more people would be on the side that a decision, a change had to be made. So look, there's no cause for celebration here. You know, I think he covered it and Jessica had said it quite well. The fact that, you know, the change that Liam Buckley brought to the club was hugely welcome. He brought real stability and a quality of player that we have struggled to attract to the showgrounds for years now. I think everybody is grateful for that. But I think just going back to when we spoke about it on our podcast last week, the quotes that Jessica carried in last week's Sligo Champion after the Pats game, where Liam Buckley had kind of reacted to the negative comments from fans, and you know that kind of stood out to me an awful lot, because you know Liam Buckley famously will be interviewed, but he'll say nothing in the interview, as is his wont. But I thought he was really communicating his feelings there, which was unusual for him, and that told me that, you know, something was happening, whether there was conversations happening with him and the committee, I don't know, but it told me that something was going on. And it's a brave decision by the committee as well at the same time to make this decision, but it's definitely the right time to do it with the mid-season break coming up. And I think now, because of our performance so far this season, our underperformance so far this season, qualifying for European football could be difficult, and I think it gives greater emphasis to the European games that we have coming up. And the other thing I would say in recent years about Liam Buckley's side is the disappointment that I think a lot of people felt going out to the Icelandic team Hafnarfjörður last season in a slightly kind of lackluster manner. I think that kind of has, for me personally, that kind of resonated, where I felt that they were a team that we had a reasonable chance of beating. We didn't show up for both legs, I would say, and we really let that one go. And in the context of the type of budget that we have at Sligo Rovers, and I know the chairman was on earlier and he spoke about this is the biggest budget we have, but these European games and the money that can be made from going through a round or two is just so important. And I just feel that we can't go into another European competition with the same kind of mindset that we had last season.
Does the manager have to carry such a big can? You know, Greg Bulger's made the point, a lot of the players are underperforming, you touched on it this season. You know, how do you share out the responsibility, or is the fact of the matter the guy who picks the team is ultimately responsible?
Well, I think the manager in any kind of footballing situation like that needs to be the person that sets the tone. And if Greg Bulger says what he says on Twitter today, yeah, I mean, maybe the players need to take responsibility. I think as fans as well, we also feel that the squad that has been assembled, like as Jessica said earlier, at the start of the season, and Tommy also said it earlier, we probably have the strongest squad today that we've had in, you know, since the glory days, 2012, 2013, there, thereabouts. Tommy said we have two players for each position. And we need to be able to maximise that. And I think in relation to, you know, when you ask the question, who's responsible, you need to have people in a senior position that are going to inspire the players when they're going out on the pitch to, you know, absolutely leave everything out there. And that's what we haven't been seeing for the last number of weeks and months in the showgrounds and for our away games. It's just a slightly lackluster approach to things. And the other thing, just to make a slightly different point, the other thing as well that has stood out to me this season is, you know, the League of Ireland is really on a resurgence around the country. And when you look at figures, when you look at the amount of people that are going through the turnstiles, almost across the board, they're up. The numbers going into the showgrounds recently have been either, they're either kind of staying where they're staying the same, either dropping off ever so slightly. So I also feel that we need to be, as a community club, we need to be right on top of that, and we need to be encouraging as many people as possible to go to the showgrounds on a, you know, every other week. And, you know, if there's a kind of an apathy there, it's going to have a huge impact on how the club is able to function from a financial point of view on a, you know, week-to-week or a month-to-month basis. And obviously it's different with the likes of Derry, the likes of the money that Derry have now, and other clubs are not as reliant on the turnstile as we are. But I just think, you know, it's another element to the bigger picture. We need to have a real buzz around the club. With the squad that we have, we should be performing better. There should be more excitement about going to see Sligo Rovers play, and that will draw more people into the showgrounds, which means the coffers will be more money to play around it, you know.
One last talk, Conor, just in relation to supporters. I mean, do you think Liam Buckley had some class of a point? You know, do Rovers fans from time to time overreact to one or two
matches? Absolutely. Yeah, look, I mean, I was on the "we're going to win this league" bandwagon at the start of the season. There's no doubt about it. And it is. It's absolute highs and it's absolute lows. And it's fun. And, you know, you have to, like, the thing we spoke about, we had this conversation on the podcast last week, and we did, it's, you don't want to have a conversation about having to get rid of the manager, because ultimately that's his job and that's his livelihood. So you do need to try and be more measured about these things. It's difficult to do because that's the nature of, you know, supporting a football team. You know, you celebrate the highs, and then when things aren't going so well, I would say he does have a point. But look, that's life, I suppose. You know, that's the way it goes.
The question now, Jessica, becomes who is going to take his place? We know John Russell's in charge for the time being as interim manager. Maybe he'll put his hand up and say, I'm interested in having this role on a permanent basis. Maybe there's somebody else within the club who might be interested in this job. But presumably, Rovers are going to take a good scouting look around the country and overseas. Is this a risky time to go hunting for a manager mid-season? Are there many out there available?
Well, what I would say to that often is it's always a risky time looking for a manager, no matter who you appoint or no matter where you look, it's always going to be risky. There's never any guarantee that you'll have any success anywhere. I suppose here in Ireland, you know, the options probably aren't fantastic, particularly at the minute. You never know, there could be someone within a club somewhere working with underage teams. As far as I'm aware, John Russell is only doing his pro licence at the minute, so he wouldn't be able to take charge unless, you know, there was some kind of leeway given. So he'll probably be able to hang on in the interim and until a manager is appointed. The way I would expect the club to be working, and I'm sure they've already, you know, been casting the net far and wide and having a look in the UK. And, you know, I saw some discussion about former players who are kind of working away in management and stuff. And I saw people discussing maybe Gavin Pearce or Danny Ventry, or kind of looking at that side of things. And I would imagine that would definitely be considered. But going by past years when the club has been looking for a manager, there'll be no shortage of applicants. And I mean, listen, I'm sure there's already been people on the phone looking at, like, talking to the club about, you know, sending a CV in and all that kind of stuff. It's obviously an important one, and it's one they want to get right this time, because, you know, there is European football coming up, and you kind of want to get a manager in who's going to galvanise that support. As Conor mentioned, clubs around the country are getting a surge in attendances and they're selling out, and we're not kind of seeing that same sort of excitement at the showgrounds. We haven't kind of had that. And, you know, maybe with a new manager, you're kind of hoping that you want to bring someone in who's going to rally the fans around the club again, and maybe get the showgrounds hopping and back to near full, because we'd love to see that. And then you're kind of thinking that the club might try and look at a former player who's in the UK, maybe doing well, working with underage academies, something like that. But listen, I'm sure they have someone in mind, but when it comes to the recruitment process, you don't know who'll turn up or who'll send a CV. I know someone like Julian Dixon sent a CV in on several occasions, and even Dave Rogers, who played in the League of Ireland for a few years, he sent a CV in before and has expressed an interest in the Rovers job before. So, like, any kind of random person can kind of crop up. And you know, look, Liam isn't the only manager who might be losing his job, and I see a lot of calls for other managers to lose their jobs at this time, so we could see Liam back in the league quite soon. But as for Clyde Rovers, it's a really tough one, and I'm sure that they will be working day and night to try and get this one right and to try and find someone who will kind of excite the fans enough, because that's what you want. You want the showgrounds packed again, and if you can bring someone in who's kind of popular enough or has a good enough reputation, it'll do that.
Conor, let's imagine for a moment that the club decide to give you and the Borst podcast lads a contribution part of the next job spec for the next Sligo Rovers manager. If you had to pick one or two things you'd like to see on it, what would you like the next manager to have attribute-wise?
Well, if we were managing it, we'd need better microphones for the podcast. we're just going to announce the best. So the thing about it is, as I said earlier on, the players are there, I think. The squad is there. It's just that I think the fans would feel that we're not maximising the assets that we have currently, and it's that kind of that flatness. So, like, from a, you know, we're looking for a personality that's a manager that's going to bring that kind of zest and a sense of yeah, just that kind of sense of excitement to the whole project, you know. One thing that I would say is, I don't know how accurate this is, but I do, as I look at, like, all the clubs that we play in, they all have, like, they all have GPS monitors. There's a real sense of technology coming into the League of Ireland. And I don't know if that's being delivered or if that's being used in the showgrounds on a weekly basis. But, like, I think that, again, I know this all comes at a cost, but my kind of fear that we're being left behind. Like, you look at the video analysis room that they have up in Oriel Park. I'm not saying that we need to go and start building video analysis rooms, but to introduce the type of technology that is kind of commonplace now across the board, I don't know if that's going on in the showgrounds, but I would kind of like to see more evidence of that, I think.
Conor Lynch of the Borst podcast, that's the Bit of Red Supporters Trust podcast, and Jessica Farry speaking to us earlier today on the departure of Liam Buckley as Sligo Rovers manager. Rovers at home to Derry City this Monday evening, and we'll bring you full match commentary of that game, compliments of EJ Menswear, from 7:45 on oceanfm.ie. The second half will also be live from 9 p.m. on the Rovers Hour tomorrow, Monday night. Let's finish with the Sligo Rovers Academy results from this weekend. Women's under 17, Dundalk 1, Sligo Rovers 2, Heather O'Sullivan and Cara King with the goals. In the women's under 19, Sligo Rovers 4, Bray Wanderers 0, Keila Scanlon scored twice, Kira Henry and Nadine Hargaden also on target. Boys under 14, Sligo Rovers 2, Shelburne 0, Jamie O'Malley with both the Rovers goals. In the men's under 15 league today, Derry City 4, Sligo Rovers 0. In the men's under 17, Finn Harps 3, Sligo Rovers 1. Luke Maverick was on target for Rovers, and in the men's under 19 game that's just finished at the Sean Fallon Centre, it ended in disappointment for another Rovers team against Bohemians. Sligo Rovers 0, Bohemians 2.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever. Na 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 na